Our Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 15 through 21. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. Your words were fond, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone, because your hand was upon me. For you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth. They shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. And I will make you in this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but if they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showering honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible. So far, it depends on you. Live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Dolly Parton did a song many, many years ago, 9 to 5. There was also a movie, the same title. Anybody remember it? All right, now the song will be going through your head. It used to be, now getting to be more than a few years ago, that people worked 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and had the weekends off. Now we have various times that we go to work, various shifts, rotating schedules, being on call. Now add into this mix all the extra activities that we have available to us, the ease of travel, which we have it so easy when it comes to travel compared to even, say, the 1950s. Much travel is easier, so therefore we have more opportunities for things to do. Then I hear the words, it's not that I don't want to come to church, it's just that we don't have time for it, at least right now. Well, one thing I've learned over the years, I cannot manufacture time. Oh, you can try multitasking, but do you know what? Does it add another hour to your day? No. Now, how many of you, when you multitask, actually get more than one thing done well? Okay, see, some of you are laughing. You know exactly what I mean. Then there's the good old time management. Oh, you can find 100 books in the bookstore on time management. When I worked for the University of Phoenix, I used to teach a class where we spent quite a bit of time on time management. And I thought I did a good job on it, teaching time management. Until this one intellectually challenged individual came to me and said, well, it didn't work. And I says, why didn't it work? She says, well, I used all the methods you said. I started the paper 2 hours before it was due and I couldn't get it done. Now I know what teachers mean. You know, some days you just feel like you just fail miserably. Now, time is a valuable commodity to all of us. Time is a lot like money. We decide how we're going to spend it. Like money, are we going to spend $150 for a pair of shoes? I took Ben shopping for shoes once. There are shoes that cost $150, $200. For that, they better run for me. I put them on and I didn't move any faster, so why would I want anyway? Or do I want to spend $70,000 for a truck or $5 on a McDonald's meal? Whether it comes to time or money, we always ask ourselves the key questions, what is it worth and what is it not worth to us? Well, let's look at the question of what God does not say about church. You'll never find in the Bible how long church services should be. You want to get pastors want to get people antsy, start going over 60 minutes. Because there's something about the magical 60-minute mark that everybody decides it's got to be over with. And there's nothing in the Bible about the number of services on a Sunday. But what the Bible does say is that we are valuable to God. And he just doesn't use words. He uses deeds. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He sent his son so that we could experience life more than what we do get right now out of it. You know, yes, we should enjoy the love of families, the satisfaction of a job well done, the joy of friendships. But God wants us to enjoy something greater than these things. He wants us to enjoy the fullness of his blessing. He wants us to enjoy a peace which would never end. And peace here is, remember, the way peace is used in the Bible is not absence of war or conflict. It is the relationship between God and man is right. He wants us to enjoy that forever. And it comes at a high cost. Christ had to become a human being and live under the same restrictions as us. He had to show his love too for his Father by what he did and did not do, how he used his time. And he always made perfect decisions. He always was properly focused on work, rest, family, synagogue, and everything else. Yes, it says in the Bible that Jesus rested. See, there's nothing wrong with resting. He also took time with his disciples alone. He also took time in prayer. He took time in the synagogue. He had a balance to his life. Most importantly, he does what all of us cannot do. We cannot live that perfect life. We are commanded to do it if we want eternal life. We can't do it. So he comes and lives the perfect life for us and then takes our place for us. His earthly life ends on the cross. He doesn't immediately go up into heaven. The Bible says in 1 Peter that he descended down into hell to preach to the souls that were there. He took our place in life and death to pay the price. Matthew says in chapter 10, verse 31, "You are worth more than many sparrows." You know, if you ever question that you are worth much more than that, keep in mind the price he was willing to pay for each and every one of us. He wants us to experience a life without difficult decisions or disappointments. That's when we get to heaven. We don't have difficult decisions. We will not be disappointed. We'll also have a life without suffering and a life without selfishness or loss. Life as God intended it to be. If you want to know what heaven is, don't look in the book of Revelation. Go back and read Genesis 1 and 2 before the fall. That's what life was intended to be. That is, it talks about in Revelation that the Garden of Eden will be in heaven. The tree of life will be there. All right. So heaven is almost like a second Garden of Eden. But that's what it was intended to be for us. And that relationship, because of our relationship with him, we are guaranteed the forgiveness of sins, and we're guaranteed heaven. Are you beginning to realize the value of your relationship with Christ? Moses reminded the people, "These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Point's pretty clear what Moses is talking about. Know him and follow him in faith. I've used this analogy before in the word impress that Moses uses Deuteronomy 6:6-7. The word impress. If you sit in a lawn chair long enough, what marks do you have on the back of your legs? All right? Now, if you sit there for 10 minutes, you get up, the marks are gone pretty quickly, correct? Now, if you're lazy like me and will sit there for 2 to 3 hours without moving, because I'm too dumb to get up to move, I get up and guess what? The marks are a little deeper, right? Takes a little longer for them to go away. That's what Moses is talking about, impressing the Word of God on to people. It should make an impact to us. God wants us to spend time with him in prayer and in study. He wants to leave a deep impression in us. And you know what? If I want those, you know, pushing the analogy of that chair a little further, if I want those marks to remain, I got to keep going back to the chair, don't I? They won't just reappear on their own in a week or two. All right? This impression also reminds us how valuable we are to him and his relationship to us. Then I hear, "Well, I can't come to church because it's time for me to spend with my family." Now, spending time with family, that's a good thing. It is an honorable thing to do. Sometimes people will do it because their parents didn't spend much time with them, and now that they have kids of their own, they said, "Well, now we're going to spend as much time as we can, and Sunday morning's the only time that we can do it." Well, family time cannot replace time with Christ. Now, this is a hard one to take. The blessings of family are only temporary, but the relationship with God is eternal. Jesus emphasizes this again and again in Matthew chapters 10 and 16. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then from our gospel lesson, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The relationship with Christ is the most important because it's the only thing that's eternal in our life. Through the Word, through the Scriptures, through the preaching of the Word, through the sacraments, God impresses upon us His relationship with us. He doesn't want the relationship to fade. It starts to fade when we decide we want to face life's struggles without Him. But we got to keep coming back to Jesus to have that impression put back on. Church, after all, what a better place to learn about life, forgiveness, peace from God, salvation. And yes, as we put these things into practice, we also learn, all right, parenting, relationship with children, spouse, friends, other people, people in the world. Because this is how we respond to what God's already done for us. You know what one of the toughest talks you can ever have with a family member? Start talking to them about their church attendance. But what's most important? Relationship with Christ. I'm not saying they don't have a relationship with Christ. I want to make that very clear. What I am saying is they're risking weakening it. You know, it's time for us to evaluate the true worth of things, how we will and will not spend our time. After all, time is limited. Our time is valuable. So may God help us to use that time in ways that are truly valuable and that will leave an internal impression on us and those around us. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.